Blog Talk Radio.
Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. Thank you for joining with us today on our special day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you got on your dancing shoes. I hope you are ready to worship and praise God, because the throne is open. He has sent forth a prophetess in the house today. I hope you're looking for some joy, because joy is in the house today. But God has sent us somebody special, somebody that He has released into the earth to monitor the things that are going on and to prophetically bring it in order. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but let me just tell you about this woman of God. Prophetess Kimberly Moses, a prolific author, publisher, prophetic instructor, woman's empowerment, healing, and deliverance ministry. If you're looking for a writing workshop, your answer is here. Kimberly Moses is an ordained prophetess who is highly sought after as a prophetic voice, intercessor, and prolific author. There's no doubt that she has a global mandate on her life to serve the nations of the world by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. She has quickly expanding worldwide. Moses wears many hats to fulfill the call God has placed on her life as an entrepreneur over several businesses, including her own personal brand, Rejoice Essentials, which promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. She also serves as a life coach and mentor to many women. She is also a loving mother of two wonderful children. Kimberly has dedicated her life to the work of the ministry to serve others under the call God has placed over her life. Kimberly currently resides in North Carolina. She is a very anointed woman of God whose signs, miracles, and wonders follow. The miraculous and the ancestors' testimonies attributed to her ministry are incalculable, with many reporting physical and mental healing, financial breakthrough, debt cancellation, and other favorable outcome. Are you on this call today? Because you need to be here. You need to call your friends and call your family. You need to text somebody and have them to call us at 657-383-1974. She is also known across the globe as a servant who truly labors on behalf of God's people through intercession. Kimberly is the author of 13 books, including her latest book, School of the Prophets. I have on this call today, ladies and gentlemen, a woman of God that has been released from the throne, like Prophetess Deborah, to conquer, to overtake, to command, to have dominion over any situation that is now in your life. All you need to do is listen today and find out how, when she needs to talk to you. But as of today, we have her as our special guest on the line, Prophetess Kimberly Moses. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I got you, girl. Yes, I do.
Amen.
I'm so happy for you to make time come and share with us on the Pastors for Punch TV studio. Many knows about Punch TV studio. We are a company, black owned, that have been released into the global world to introduce people to our CEO, Joseph Collins, who has been approved, authorized, and qualified to sell shares in our company, a dollar a share. So it's been across the nation, and we still have that opportunity available. But I just wanted you to know that you've been sent today by I Am That I Am, and that's why you're here today. Of course, I appreciate Apostle Ken Cox for the recommendation of bringing you on the show. But let me just cut it short and just release what God is giving us today and bring you into the forefront. And what we do here, we document church history. We document ministries. That's the purpose of bringing our pastors on our show. So you are the first in line for today to just tell us some things about you, how God brought you into this place, your beginning, what happened, how did you know that God had his hands on you, Prophetess Kimberly Moses?
Yes, yes, and I just want to thank you, Prophetess Joy, just for allowing, you know, this opportunity. I want to give a special shout out to Apostle Ken Cox for this divine connection. I want to thank my husband, you know, just for the support that he, you know, always supports me when I do the call of God on my life, because we need support doing the work of the Lord, because we get attacked. It's so many things happen, amen, so we just need somebody in our corner. So
yes,
it has been a process for me. I was raised as a Buddhist, and I didn't hear about Jesus until I was the age of 12. So at my house, my childhood house that I grew up in, you know, there was a lot of demonic activity. I had an open portal to hell because all I used to do as a child was watch Freddy Krueger, Chucky, the Poltergeist, The Exorcist. So at night when I would go to bed, I would wake up and I would see, like, dark shadows spinning over me with red eyes. And they would try to get sexual, and they would even try to get inside my body. I would feel like a hand in the spirit, you know. And I remember, like, all this bad stuff started happening to my family when my mother and my father decided to leave Buddhism. And they got in an argument with a lady over the congregation or the meeting for the Buddhism in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And when that occurred, it seemed like in 2 weeks, all this bad stuff started happening. My baby sister, she was like maybe two at the time, she fell two stories and hit her head on some concrete. We got in a bad car accident. My parents got in a bad car accident with my sister. One day my mother was driving a Nissan Altima, which was a fairly new car at the time that she had. She was driving down the highway, and she couldn't brake. And the only way she was able to stop the car, she just had to rear off the road and hit a tree. And then it was just all this bad stuff was happening. The demons in the house, the presence of evil was so strong in my childhood home that we used to wake up in the middle of the night, somebody was screaming at the top of their lungs, and they used to chase us out of the house, and everybody had to calm down before they came back. So my father, he told somebody what was happening at his job, and the man was like, yo, you need to get your family baptized in the name of Jesus. So my daddy listened. He took us and got baptized in the name of Jesus, you know, when I was around 12. But we did not go to church consistently. That was where the issue was. So it seemed like I got worse, Prophetess. I got worse, and my heart got hard towards the gospel. And it seemed like the devil, he tried to kill me. It was just crazy. So, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm hearing you.
Okay. So I was, like I said, I was on my way about to bust hell, excuse me, my language, about to, you know, bust the hell wide open. But anyways, I remember watching a lot of reality TV shows.
Yeah.
And then I always wanted to be a stripper. So from, I think on my 18th birthday, I said at 12 years old, I made a vow to myself. I was like, I'm going to be a stripper one day. So on my 18th birthday, I went ahead and I got a job at a strip club. So I stripped about 3 to 4 years, And I remember I was staying with, I was shacking up. I had an aspiration at that time to be a model, be an actress. And I remember I met somebody on the internet. This is crazy, prophetess, but I met somebody on the internet. And he was like, I'm a casting director. I want to put you in this movie. So I'm like, okay. So I was crazy enough to go down there, end up meeting the man, and find out that, you know, he was kind of abusive and controlling. So I remember when I met this man, the first night, the first night I met this man, you know, he took me to the club, and then I didn't pay no attention to him, but I had all my stuff in his room. So he left me in the club. I had to go back and take a taxi to get back to the room, and I was just going to bail out and just go back, you know. And I was in Texas. I was going to go back to North Carolina. But then I went in the room, and then my phone – and my phone was ringing. I was like, where is my phone at? That was like one of my friends checking up on me, like, hey, girl, you know, you got the text because I ain't hear nothing from you. So I chased my phone, the sound of my phone, to a safe in the room. This man locked my purse in a safe in the room. And then I was like, really? So I couldn't get nothing. I couldn't get my credit cards or nothing. I almost getting ready to leave. And I was trying to get my purse, but then that man, he bust into the room, and he cursed me out. And then he threw my stuff off of the balcony window, 13 stories off of a balcony window. I felt broken, And he forced himself on top of me.
How old were you then?
I was about 19. I was 19, headed down the wrong track, you know. So he forced himself on me, and I was scared because he was controlling. I thought he was going to kill me. He had my stuff locked up in his safe. I didn't know how I was going to get out of there. So he was so controlling that when somebody looked at me, you know, he got mad at me like it was my fault. You know, went to a restaurant one time, and the waiter was kind of looking at me like, oh, you know, and we had to leave the restaurant, and I had to eat like some oatmeal and banana or something he had in his car because he didn't want that guy in the restaurant to look at me. Some crazy stuff.
Right.
So I went through this thing with this man for about 6 months, was shacking up. So this man, he's like, I love you. I want to marry you. Yes, I was so scared to get out of that relationship. So he took me to go meet his mother. And this is like kind of the turning point in my life, prophetess. He took me to go meet his mother, and his mother was a Christian. And she took me to church. Yes, she took me to church. And when I went into that church, I didn't feel right. I was like, I don't belong here. I wanted to run out because I could feel God working on me even then. I could feel like something I never felt before, and I felt unclean. And I felt like I just wanted to cry and weep. But I was trying to fight it. I was like, no, I'm not going to cry here. Nope. So I was just holding back tears, just trying to resist it. And after I left that church, I was never the same. I wasn't even comfortable anymore shacking. I wasn't even comfortable anymore just stripping. I was like, oh, my God, I need to get my life together. So I convinced that man. I said, okay, let me go home to my mother. I need to go home to my parents. And he was like, he didn't want me to go initially, but I said, I'll come right back. So when I said that, he agreed to let me go back home. So I went home, and I left all of my stuff out. I left, like, so much stuff, like expensive handbags, shoes, clothes. I didn't care. I was just ready to get out.
Because actually he was taking care of you now at this point.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So I left a lot of stuff back, and then I went to North Carolina. And when I got back into North Carolina, my sister underneath me, my younger sister just got saved. She just got saved. And she kept trying to get me to go to church. But then it seemed like the enemy was working on me, and my heart was growing back hard. And I was like, nope, I'm not going to go to church. Nope, nope. And I was just trying to fight it. So,
'cause you remember that
she
feeling.
She handed me a Bible. Yeah, I remember that feeling. Yep, I was just like the enemy was just working inside of me because he didn't want me to get saved. So it was just a tug of war inside of me. You know, I my sister was beating me on over the head with the Bible and talking to me about Jesus, and I wanted to do right, but my, you know, my I was so carnal, so deep in sin, I just didn't know how to get out. So she handed me a Bible, and for some reason I put that Bible on my passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, I remember just walking, and I heard the devil in my head. He said, "You're going to die today." And I felt evil.
Mm.
I felt death for the first time ever in my life. I said, "Wow, I feel like I'm about to die for the first time ever. I never felt this before." And then I brushed it off. I shook it off. Like, nothing's going to happen to me. So that night, I went, and I was going on my way to go to the strip club. And I remember it was raining so hard. It was raining hard. And I looked up in my rearview mirror because I started feeling death again, like I'm getting ready to die. I looked up in my rearview mirror, prophetess, and I seen a car about to slam into me. But I said, no. You know, I tried to reason within myself, like, this car's not going to hit me because it's an empty lane beside me. But sure enough, the car just rammed into me, even though I had an empty lane beside me, you know.
Wow.
And the person that hit me, she was high as a kite. She was high as a kite. She got out after she hit my car, and she had the nerve to ask me for a black and mild. I was like, are you serious? I was like, you just hit my car, lady. You going to ask me, do we have a black and mild, like something to smoke? Are you crazy? So then, yeah, shortly after that, prophetess, another car ran into me, so I got hit twice. But the crazy part was I had a four-door sedan. It got smushed into a two-door sedan. CDs, glass was shattered all across the highway. At the time, I had my eyebrow pierced. That popped off. I had braces on my teeth. Some of my braces popped off my teeth. That was how bad the impact was. I remember, you know, metal braces don't pop off. I was like, what? My braces popped off?
God.
Yeah, that's how hard I got hit. And I remember I jumped out the car and I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I was hysterical because I thought I was dead. And I remember everybody, some people on the scene of the accident, crime scene or whatever, they rushed to me. And they calmed me down, and I remember once I calmed down, the firefighter that was on the scene, he was across the street. He looked at the car, shook his head, and he looked at me, and he's like, wow, same Bible my sister gave me 2 weeks prior. He picked up his Bible, and he handed it to me. He said, here, young lady, this saved your life. This saved your life.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was like over 13 years ago, but that stood with me. And I was like, you know what? God didn't have to do this. Because I heard the devil tell me I was going to die, that he was going to kill me, and I felt like I was going to die. But then here, this Bible, it saved my life. So I remember shortly after that, you know, I went to the strip club. I cleaned out my locker. I just walked away from it. And I remember going to church with my sister when she's like, you want to go to church now? I was like, yeah. And so I remember just going into church. You know, I repented. You know, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody invited me to their house, one of the elders in the church, church mother. She laid hands on me. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. So then I was on fire, prophetess. I was on fire. At the age of 21,
wow.
I was doing home Bible studies. But then, because I was it's going to get worse. I'm going to take you on a journey, amen, because it's a process of how I became a prophet. So this all is adding up. So it gets worse. So I was a babe in Christ. I didn't even know how to pray. And I married my children's father after knowing him for about 4 months. So I married this man, and it seemed like I grew cold. My zeal for God just diminished. You know, I didn't even want to go to church
after
anymore.
You married a guy?
I became, after I married, I just got worse. I had so many idols in my life, prophetess. You know, it was ridiculous. My husband at the time was my idol. My school was my idol because I wanted to go to medical school. So, you know, I was going hard in school. You know, he's a believer. I'm not knocking him. But he was just kind of, you know, like a religious spirit, you know. And I was like, I can't do this, you know, because he wanted to church hop. You know, every church he just wanted to hop, church hop. And I was like, I need one church. And it drew me crazy.
Oh, my God.
As a baby Christ. And I said, you know what? Forget church. Forget God. That's what I said. So I stopped going completely. Because I was not with the church hopping, you know.
Oh, my Jesus.
So I stopped going to church. It got worse. You know, I was doing good in school. I got my bachelor's degree in biology, a minor in chemistry, got a respiratory therapist degree. You know, I was like, I'm about to go to school to be a doctor.
You were doing well.
Yeah, I was doing well in the natural, but my spirit life was down the drain.
Yeah.
I didn't have no time for God or nothing. You know, I remember people asking me, you want to volunteer at church? You want to do this? I said, nope. And, you know, it was crazy. I sat in church for about 10 years, but I didn't even want to have anything to do with God. I just went to
No
go.
Way.
You know,
it's because your husband was in church, and that's why you were there.
Yes, he, cause, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was just crazy. So, like, me being a Buddhist, I needed to know if God was real. I needed to know if he was real. So what happened was, you know, I started having marital problems, you know, with my children's father. And I remember he got military orders, and he said, you know what, I got to go to Colorado. At the time, we lived in North Carolina. He said, I got to go to Colorado. I want you, you know, I want to take you with me and work on our marriage. Prophetess, when I got there, it was bad from day one. As soon as I got to Colorado, it was bad. You know, I got a bad divorce. You know, I had bad anger inside of me to the point where I would break my own dishes. I would wake up angry, slamming doors. I remember I cooked a fish dinner with some potatoes, some green beans. I got so mad at him, I threw it in the trash. You know, all the food on the plates and crazy stuff because I was just mad, fidelity in our marriage. I was just mad about what I went through. So I remember one day I snapped. I had so much anger. I rammed my car into his car. I got arrested, and I was on probation for 2 years. But this is the breaking point, and I'm about to get to the I know it's, God, he had to do work on me because I was bad. So I'm just trying to encourage somebody because no matter how jacked up your past is, God can still use you. So I remember just that night I got arrested. I was suicidal as well. I didn't even want to live. But I remember picking up a book, and the name of the book was called Doing His Time. Doing His Time was the name of the book. So I picked up this book, and it was all about God's mercy, all about God's grace. And I was like, wow. And I began to read this these pages in this book, and I began to feel hope and peace. I haven't felt that in a long time, you know. So I was like, oh, my God. I said, Lord, how did I get here? Why am I doing a jail? I don't even belong here. I'm about to be a doctor, you know. And
wow.
I said, well,
yeah,
and
I
know. Felt like my life was over.
Been
so
taken away from you. That's what the Bible comes, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy you.
Yes, exactly. So what happened was I repented right there in that jail cell. And I rededicated my life to Christ. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I said, for years, I've been running away from you. I've been cold. You know, I didn't want to have anything to do with you. But I need you to show me, God, that you are real. You know, if I'm going to serve you, I need you to show me that you are real. You know, because it's hard to serve a God that you don't know that he's real, that he don't exist. You know,
yeah.
And I thank God, even right now in my walk, I feel the presence of God every day. I feel his fire every single day, you know, because he's showing me that he is real. So in that jail cell, when I said that, you know, it was a process. I rededicated my life. So after I got released, and I had to, trust me, I needed to be on probation for 2 years. I know when I was going through it, I couldn't say that.
Are you
but
saying
after,
you needed
you know,
to be incarcerated?
Yes, I'm telling you, and people out there with sons and daughters that's in that place, you know, let God, you know, do something in their life because sometimes it's necessary. That was my the pivotal point in my life, you know, to make me get together. Like, I cannot be irresponsible anymore. I cannot be trifling anymore. I got to grow up. Amen. I got to take responsibility for my actions. You know, every action have consequences. So I remember just going through probation, being stressed out, being lonely, being rejected, being in I call it my wilderness season because I didn't know anybody. I just got to Colorado.
Now, what were your kids
at
the time that you were incarcerated?
I was only in jail for like 24 hours. Yes.
Okay.
For 24 hours. So it's like a night in jail. And my kids, that you know, they were with him, but me and him, we had them, you know, 50-50 custody. So that was the pivotal point in my life, and I remember spending a lot of time with God because I had just rededicated my life. And one day I was praying, and around this time I started to hear the Lord speak to me, and He kept telling me, "Go on a computer, write a blog." And I was like, "Write a blog? I don't want to write. I'm not no writer, you know." And so I began to write a blog. Everything he told me what to do step by step. So I wrote a blog that became one book. My first book, Overcoming Difficult Life Experiences with Scriptures and Prayers. Then, you know, I heard this, you know, start a prayer lineup. I said, God, I don't want to pray. I don't even know how to pray. You know, at the time, I was just so fearful, so just shaking in my boots. Like, God. And I was like, and then I remember him showing me things. I remember he showed me speaking to a crowd full of people. I said, who will go speak to people. I said, God, I still got anxiety. And prophetess, let me backtrack. Okay, when I was lukewarm for those 10 years, I had backslid. And I opened up the door to the enemy. And because I opened up the door to the enemy, I was tormented with anxiety for 5 years. So I said, God, you cannot use me because I have so much fear inside of me. I cannot talk to anybody, you know. But anyways, God had another plan. So I just remember just praying, and I really started fasting, and I really closed the door to all sin in my life, and I really got on fire for God. I started obeying everything God told me to do. So I remember praying for miracle restoration at the time, and then I heard the Lord say, "You're a prophet." I said, "Oh, I'm a what?" And at the time, I thought prophets were men, obese men, white men with beards.
I didn't know.
I didn't know there were women prophets. Yeah, I did not know there were women prophets. And then later on, I had to repent, and I found out there were women prophets in the Word of God, like Prophetess Huldah and Deborah and Anna.
Yes.
You know, so I'm like, okay, God.
Yes.
Oh, so there are women prophets. So I said, okay. So then that's when everything started, Prophetess. That's when I was just worshiping the Lord, spending a lot of time with Him. Because here I was like, I really thought I was on top of the world in the natural, you know, about to get my white lab jacket, about to be this big shot doctor, but God shut that door, you know. So
oh,
I lost
my
everything.
God.
I lost my marriage.
That's
I lost
awesome.
My dreams, my hopes, aspiration. Yes, I was just broken at rock bottom. So I spent a lot of time in prayer, you know, and I just remember just being so depressed, so just broken, and the only thing that got me through was Jesus. And here I was at the time working in the hospital. And I said, God, I have a 12-hour shift to work. And I said, I can't get through this shift. But the only thing that got me through the shift was crying out on Jesus. I kept saying, Jesus, 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 underneath my breath. I said His name about like 10,000 times that night just to be able to get through my shift, just so I can have some peace in my life because, you know, I was just going through like the crushing, depressing. God had to get that anger out of me. He had to get that fear out of me. He had to get that rebellion out of me. He had to get that hardness out of my heart. He had to get that pride out of me. He had to break me down to nothing, you know, so my spirit will be able to yield and submit to Him. I had to learn how to die to self and place, you know, my agenda on the back burner and pick up His. And I said,
right,
okay, God,
exactly.
I'm going to yield. I'm going to submit. So then this is when everything started.
Hold on one second. I want you to hold on to that thought because we're going to come back. I'll do a commercial, but you have so much to say. I knew that you were the woman to bring on today. But let me have a couple of moments. We're going to run a commercial. We do got callers on the line, so I want you to save some of that energy because I believe there are people on the line that you really help. I know you're helping me, but I'm going to play this commercial, and then we're going to come back.
Okay.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
This is a Queen Banda Power Nugget.
Did you know that we have to keep first things first? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 lets us know, I exhort, desire, instruct, therefore, that first, supplication, prayer, intercession, a coming together, a conversation and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, and all who are in authority. Why? For this is good, beautiful, honorable, in the sight, in the presence of God our Savior.
Hi, this is the Pastors for Punch TV Studios, your host, Joy Brown. Our special guest, Prophetess Kimberly Moses, has just had so much that she's been talking about, her experience, how she came out of the devil's hand into the Lord's hand, smack dab in the middle of her purpose. And she's talking about when God called her to be a prophetess and the experiences that she has gone through to get to where she is today. This woman of God is powerful. And I'm going to go ahead again and prophetess, let's come back to where you were and tell us now that you have begun to walk in your divine purpose as being what God has you. What happens? What happened next?
Okay, awesome. So I remember just praying, and the Lord told me I was a prophet. So He told me about three times. So I finally embraced it, and then that's when everything started. That's when I started having visitations from Jesus, because I always wanted for God to show me that He was real. You know, then I started having encounters with the hand of God and the external voice of God. Then the Lord started showing me other people's lives around me. Now, it's been a difficult journey. Of course, you know, when you first step out, and I know a lot of people, they probably can attest to this, there was a lot of persecution. I lost so-called friends. People call me a witch. You know, it's like, you know, you're not a prophet, and, you know, it was a lot of stuff. You know, people thought I was crazy because, you know, when to the carnal man, somebody say, I hear God, they'd be like, you cuckoo, you know. But the natural mind can't comprehend the things of the spirit, right?
Ridiculed,
so I remember this. Yes, I got really persecuted, and it hurt me to the core because I said, God, I thought these people were my friends, you know?
Yes.
So I remember just worshiping the Lord one day, and then the Lord began to open up my eyes into the spirit, and He showed me weapons in the Word of God. And one of the weapons He showed me, prophetess, was flaming arrows. And I had a show about this on Eternal Life TV for about a year. And, you know, He said, Kimberly, He said, as long as you stay, I will loose my flaming arrows at your enemies. And I said, flaming arrows, what? So the Holy Spirit led me to Psalms chapter 7. Amen. I think it's like verse number 13. And it talks about flaming arrows, fiery arrows. They're weapons. They're dangerous weapons. So I said, okay. So the Lord began to show me various weapons in the Word of God. The Lord even gave me a scroll one day as I started off my first launch down into my prayer ministry. I remember just worshiping the Lord about 4 o'clock in the morning. Then my whole room changed. I went into this trance, and I was in the galaxy somewhere. I'm like, what? I'm in the galaxy. And I heard the external voice of God, and He said, hold out your hand. So I held out, opened my hand, and He put this golden scroll in my hand. And He said, here, put it in your belly now. I said, my belly? So I put the scroll inside of my belly, and I felt it. An oppression. I felt sharp pain from my abdomen all the way up to like my neckline, and it stayed there for like 4 hours. It didn't even matter how much I rebuked the pain; it was still there. So then I remembered, and I found it later on in the book of Ezekiel and John, the Revelator, how they had to eat a scroll, or they had a scroll inside of the belly. I'm like, okay. Then I remembered Jesus. He appeared to me. I remember one time I was closing my eyes, and I saw this man with his pure white face, red piercing eyes, and I saw like a sword going in and out of his mouth, and he had this white curly hair, and the white that I saw, his skin was like no other. It felt almost like he was dead, that white, that paleness. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And it scared me, and then I kept seeing it, and it would not go away. So then I cried out to God. I said, God, what is this? And He said, you're seeing me in my glory. Then the Holy Spirit led me to Revelation chapter 1, and it talks about the Son of Man. I'm like, okay. And at the time, I didn't even read the book of Revelation, so I didn't even know about that. But just seeing these encounters made me want to go read the book of Revelation, because I was always scared to read it because, you know, all that.
You're right,
prophecy,
me too.
If you're not living right,
exactly.
It's going to scare the mess out of you. But I read it, and then I was like, oh, that's not so bad. It's a blessing at the end of this, you know, if I read this book. It promised me a blessing for those that read the whole book. So I'm okay. So then Jesus appeared to me, and I saw Him on a horse, and He had all these angels behind Him, and they were on horses, and He said, tell my people I'm coming back soon. I was like, what? You're coming back soon? And I found that vision later on in Revelation 19, when He had the Lord of Lords written on the side of His thigh. I was like, oh, wow. So then the Lord began to show me all kinds of things about people. So why did God show me all these visions? I know people want to know. And maybe you are out there, you're having visions too. God, you know, if there's a prophet among you, the Spirit of the Lord said he will make himself known to a prophet, either in a dream or a vision. So the Lord, you know, that's what he was calling me. And I've been talking about this prophetess over like the last couple of weeks because I do a teaching now on the Making of the Prophet series because I want to make sure that I could be the best prophet that I can be. If God called me, you know, I was a good student in the world. Why can't I be a good student unto God when I was doing that in the world? And I want to be serious about this. So I made a commitment to study every prophet in the Word of God. So right now we're on Ezekiel. And I did a teaching the other day about the call of a prophet. And I was telling people, you know, usually when prophets get called to have a supernatural encounter, you know, something. Like Moses had the supernatural bush encounter, the burning of the bush. Ezekiel had the Isaiah had the throne room encounter in chapter 6, Isaiah 6. Ezekiel, he saw the four living creatures in chapter 1 and 2, you know, and saw Jesus, the Messiah on top of the four living creatures. So it was something supernatural. So as I know it's a long answer to your question, but as I obey God, you know, the Lord put such a fire on me, prophetess, you know, that I feel his tangible presence of glory every day. Jesus has appeared to me about 10 times in my walk. You know, the last time I seen Jesus was in July when I went to Mississippi to preach, and I was on an airplane, and I said, God, you know, I need to know that you're with me. I just need to know.
Yes.
So if you're with me, show me your face in the cloud. Show me Jesus in the cloud. I didn't think nothing of it. I dozed off. When I opened up my eyes, prophetess, I looked out the window of the airplane, and I seen Jesus sitting on the throne, and I seen his face in the cloud. And I just began to look
at him. Now, do you understand what you're just talking about, prophetess? Do you know how I open up this show today? I said, the throne is open. I've never done this before.
I never,
but the Lord showed me that that's what he has released. And when now you are actually talking about it.
Yes.
I know this is
Amen.
God. I know it. And I know it was meant for you to come on the show today.
Yes. Amen. I believe that. So I've been praying. I said, God, you know, I want to interview. I will tell my husband, Tron, I said, I so want interviews. I should reap them, you know, because I always do interviews on people for the magazine, Rejoice Essential Magazine. My ministry doing. So I always do interviews. Behind the scenes, you know, it's a lot of work to actually do an interview. Like, but yeah, God said, but I just want to say one thing and then I'll you know, I try to not talk so much because I can talk about this. As I obey God, you know, and followed every instruction, you know, the Lord gave me a revelation of righteousness. One time I was worshiping the Lord. His glory came in my room, and he pinned me down to the floor, and I could only move my head to the side. And his hand came out of my ceiling, and he had a scepter. And he said, here is a scepter of righteousness. I want you to teach my people about righteousness. At that time, prophetess, I didn't even know what it was. And then I wrote a book about it in right standing. So as I got a revelation of righteousness, began to live out this walk truly for God, you know, I told God I was going to go all the way, you know, and just be on fire. I have seen so many miracles, deaf ears, like opening, lumps dissolving in bodies. People, I did a 21-day fast. Somebody on my Periscope, prophetess, got healed of scoliosis. You know, it's just amazing. You know, just whenever you obey God, it must follow. So,
you say it's amazing, but to God, it's a common thing that he does. And when you walk in that level of spirituality and of the glory of God, that's what you do.
Yes.
Because
that's
where he has you. That's where he has you in the throne room. You are where he calls you to do and to move in the spirit. I am so happy to have you on this live. Come on, I don't want to cut you off because I know the time, but what I want to do also is tell us when you are, your books that you have, give us something, information on the books and how we can get in touch with you.
Yes. Well, all of my books are on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Just look up, because I recently got married, so I'm a newlywed still.
Okay.
So my last name changed to Moses, but my name in my books is Hargraves, H-A-R-G-R-A-V, as in Victor, E-S, Kimberly Hargraves. And you can look up that name, and you can see all the books. I began to write Prophetess in my lonely state when I was broken. I remember just going through a divorce, being humiliated, being ashamed. Like, how could this ever happen to me? I thought I could never go through something like that. Wow. Like, my parents have been married for 35 years. What? They're not divorced. Why did this happen to me? You know? So I was just shocked, and I was just devastated. I felt like a failure in life. I felt like a horrible mother. You know, I felt like I was less than a woman. But the
Lord
gave me purpose. Yes, you know, because I've always been so domestic. You know, like I like to cook,
okay.
I like to clean, I like to cater. You know, to host people around. So just for me losing that, I was like, okay, God. But in that, you know, going through that, you know, and seeking God and just really straightening up and not playing anymore any games and not compromising. That's the big thing, not compromising. And really practice and live in what I preach. It was a burden, and the Lord began to give me assignments. He gave me 21 books to write. Right now, you know, I've written like 15 books, but they're not released yet. 13 are released out now to the public. So I'm just getting through this list of books. And I remember just going through a divorce, and I felt all these emotions. So the Lord had me write a book called Overcoming Emotions with Prayers. And that book is like 400 pages plus. So what am I saying? Whenever you feel broken, whenever you're going through something, or you're in your feelings, write. That's the perfect time to write, because your pain is birthing purpose. Amen. And you go and write something for somebody else that's going through it, you know?
Yeah.
So I can go back out of all my books,
girl,
and read these books. And then I'm encouraging myself. All the books I've written, I go back, I read them, I pray over them. I was like, wow, I feel encouraged, because sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because as a life of a prophet, it's a lonely walk.
Yes.
You got to spend a lot of time with God. You can't have everybody in your ear. You can't do what everybody else is doing. You know, I see some Christians, I'm not knocking nobody, but you can't be dipping and dabbing in the world, being a friend of the world. Amen. You know, I got the call of God on my life. I got this hand on my life. I cannot go out there and listen to Beyonce. I cannot go out there and go to some rap concert. You know, I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Absolutely not.
Okay.
So what I decided to just live a consecrated lifestyle where the presence of the Lord seeks me. You know, so I got to that point where I developed such a high level intimacy with God that at a certain time, you know, he'll come in my room strong. So I know it's time to stop what I'm doing. Amen. I'm like, yes, Daddy. Yes, God.
Yes. You are teaching me something.
I keep on talking.
Let me put you back, and I'm going to take another commercial, because I got to do this commercial, because that's what pays for the time. And I'm going to come right back. But hold on to that, because we got about 15 minutes for you to thoroughly give us some instructions on what God is saying, okay?
Okay.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. just like I promised you, that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas, and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
This is a Queen Bander Power Nugget.
Did you know that it is by design that we aspire for greatness? Don't allow fear or insecurity to delay the inevitable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 lets us know you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world.
Hi, this is your host, Joy Brown, the pastor for Punch TV Studio. Our special guest today is Prophetess Kimberly Moses, and I hope you've been on the line listening to this live call. We have left about another 10 minutes, and I'm going to give it back over to the prophetess Kimberly Moses, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about some of her books that she has and how you can become one of the people that she can mentor as being in the prophetic. Ms. Moses, I'm going to just go ahead and let you talk for the next 10 minutes before we run out of time, because you're doing such a marvelous job with this testimony, girl. We've got to bring you back.
All right, amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes, okay, so my latest book is called The School of the Prophets, A Curriculum for Success. The Lord placed a burden on my heart to train other prophets, mentor other prophets, because like me, when I got called, I was the only prophet in my family, just like Amos in the Word of God. When God called him, he said in chapter 7, go prophesy. So he began to prophesy. He was just tending his sheep. And he told Amaziah, the high priest in the temple, he said, I wasn't no son of the prophet. Pretty much he was saying, I don't have anybody in my family that's a prophet. You know, I didn't go to school for this. So a lot of people with a prophetic call on their lives, they're lost. God, I feel like I'm the only one. Just like Elijah, he felt like he was the only one at one time. But God said, no, I have 7,000 other prophets that have not bowed down to Baal. So I made it, a commitment to go ahead and train, equip, impart. That's one of the abilities of a prophet. You know, if you're in the office of a prophet, you have an ability to impart, you know. And I just want to help the people of God learn how to flow in their gifting that the Lord has placed inside of them. So I wrote The School of the Prophets, A Curriculum for Success. And, you know, I give you some of my secrets, but not all of my secrets, right? So you got to go to my live trainings. But
now, are you on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Amazon, yes. Yes,
okay.
And I pastors, they buy my books in bulk. I know a lot of pastor friends, they buy my material in bulk, and they use my material for consecrations, corporate consecration, fasting for the churches when they get together.
Okay.
So I thank God just for using my pain, my brokenness for that.
Okay.
I wrote another book, Walk by Faith. I always tell people faith is the currency for everything in the kingdom. You got to have faith to prophesy, because the Word of God says you prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. You got to have faith to cast out devils. You got to have faith, amen, to heal the sick, because we know the prayer of faith can make the sick well. So I wrote a book about faith, of how, you know, I had to live by faith to when God called me to full-time ministry. You know, I worked in the hospital for about maybe 10 years, and I lost my job, and God called me to the office of a prophet, and now I don't know how I'm going to make it, because I'm a single mother with two kids. Like, what, God? Are you for real? You calling me, you know, to full-time ministry? So, you know, I talk about that and walk by faith. Empowering the new me. I tell my story of how I became a godly woman, how I used to be an exotic mm-hmm. dancer. So I give 50 tips mm-hmm. to becoming that godly woman and some attributes
okay.
we as women of God need to have, like modesty, integrity, you know, because I always tell God, I say, I don't want to be used as a vessel. I don't want to be a seductress. I don't want to be used as a vessel to trap my brothers mm-hmm. in Christ, you know, to cause them to stumble. You know, I don't want
yes.
to, just because somebody's wearing a split up their hips, I don't want to be that person, Lord. You
right.
know, I don't want that to be me. You know, so I just wanted to impart to women, you know, because I know a lot of women out there, you have low self-esteem. That's something I battled with for years, you know, because of the rejection, having a failed marriage and stuff like that. I felt like I wasn't beautiful. Show my body to get attention from men, but it was the wrong kind of attention. I could do a whole teaching on this. So I just want to empower the women. That's why the book is called Empowering the New Me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50 Tips to Becoming a Godly Woman.
Are you available
book.
For mm-hmm. seminars and conferences?
Yes, yes. I preach, matter of fact, December, the next time I preach is December, I think, 13th. It's at Morrisville, North Carolina, I think 201 Airgate Road, and it's the Glory Conference. But you can see all of my itinerary on my website at prophetess.org. You can go to my website. So, yeah, I preach on, you know, whenever people call me. I have my School of the Prophets. That starts January the 4th. It's a three-month training program.
Okay.
I had a lot of people that testified and said their life has been forever changed. They learn how to prophesy. They receive healing for impartation for healing. They flow just how I flow. And some of them even prophesy better than I can prophesy. So to God be the glory.
So how do we take advantage of that? If we're not in South Carolina, how do your audience take advantage of that?
The School of the
class.
Prophets is online. Yeah, it's online.
Okay, good.
You can sign up on my website, yes. And it's a three-month
okay,
training
great.
Course. You can sign up on my website and the classes start, yes, soon.
Awesome. Now, is there a direct number that someone can get in touch with you or your staff?
Yes, you can email us at info@KimberlyHargraves.com or info@prophetessk.org. I got like two different websites, you know,
okay.
and for publishing, I do have a publishing site because I know a lot of people, they want
oh, yes.
to publish books. They need somebody to sit down and help them write books. And I actually
exactly.
sit down with several people and help them write their book. Now I do
okay.
that, you know, because I know how it feels. You know, you just need somebody to believe in you and push you to write your book that you've been sitting on
right.
forever. And God's been telling mm-hmm. you to write the book, right? So
right.
my publishing website to get in contact with me is republishing.org. That's republishing.org. You can just go there and send me a message about your book. And one more, I just want to give a testimony. God is so good because I remember just having all these books. I didn't have the money, and, you know, I had like 13 books. I said, God, I need to get this book published, you know. And I was praying for the money, like maybe $30,000, $40,000 to get it published. But God said, no, I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you your own company. So sometimes God will give you an idea. He might not give you the money, but he'll give you an idea.
Right, right.
So just as you go with the idea, step out on faith and watch God move. All
right,
I'm trying to be
right.
quiet for no time. About to end.
Good. So is that like the number 3 spelled out or just 3publishing.org?
Yes, it's republishing.org, O-R-G.
Okay. Great. Well, listen, we're about to end this show, and if there's a prophetic word that you want to give to the audience or just say over Punch TV Studio, I'm going to open up that for you. I have about 5 minutes, and I want you to take 3 minutes of that and let the Lord use you.
All right. Awesome. Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for what you have done today. Lord God, and I just give you praise, honor, and glory. And this is just a corporate word. You know, the Lord is really, really causing his people to walk in abundance in this season. As you step out and obey his voice, God will put an anointing on you to change and impact the communities around you. Prophetess, The Lord's going to take you. I see you going to higher heights and deeper depths. Amen. I see you, woman of God, scribing. I see you writing. I see you, and I'm also like in. I see you just having a total like worship encounter with the Lord. You have your arms stretched wide and unto the Lord, and you know, God is pouring out so much oil upon you like oil of gladness. I see in the realm of the spirit just an encounter, angelic encounters, and encounters with his glory, an intense anointing upon your life, a mantle of fire upon your life. The word of the Lord is in your mouth as never before. God says none of your words will fall and hit the ground. God says, daughter, you walk uprightly before me. He says, I'm real pleased. He says, some doors and opportunities that you have even been praying for, they're getting ready to come to pass and manifest in the season. Sometimes you cry out and say, God, why? You know, you have kind of like some question marks around you, but the Lord's going to give you clarity in this season. And I thank you, Father God, and God says he's going to even raise you up. And Lord God, I thank you, he's going to even make your voice be heard as never before and expand your voice. Lord God, I thank you, and I see you, woman of God, crying out. I see that scripture in front of me. Cry loud and spare not. You know, the Lord is going to use your voice as a trumpet, you know, because I see you crying out for some injustice, some of the foolishness that you see in the body of Christ. And, you know, the Lord's going to cause people to back you up, certain people that's going to back you up, and he's going to back you up. And they're going to know that a prophet, a true prophet, has came into their midst. They're going to know that. So, God, I thank you for the boldness. Lord God, I thank you for the accuracy, God. God, I thank you for the precision, God. Hallelujah. Upon her life, I don't even know you, woman of God, but I see you hosting prophetic conferences. I see you, all these eagle-eyed prophets, you know, this prophetic conference, Lord God, and this mighty work that you're calling this woman of God to do. In Jesus' name, I'm not trying to go over time. So.
No, it's okay. I got it. Listen,
amen.
This is the pastors for Punch TV Studio. You have heard from Prophets Kimberly Moses and what God has done and is doing in her life. You have to go on that website. You have to give her a call and hear more of what God is giving her. At this time, you can go on Facebook, just put up Prophets Kimberly Moses or Joy Brown, tap on that button, and you can hear this interview again and again and share it with somebody. This is a prophetic divine calling for today. Again, this is the pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown, and we thank God for bringing our guest today, Prophetess Kimberly Moses, and on behalf of our CEO, Joseph Collins, and the staff of Punch TV Studio. Our website is www.punchtvstudios.com. And you have a wonderful, blessed day. And Prophetess Kimberly Moses, you've done an awesome job in sharing the word of God. May God richly bless you and open up doors that you won't have room enough to receive.
And I receive it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And you all have a great day.
Thanks.